But this is my job, and like, is to notice what's going on in this industry. But there's like, you know, it's like, it's pretty neat when you go into a bar in San Francisco that has like 8 beers on tap, and all 8 of them are from a different San Francisco brewery. Like, I love that.
That was Standard Deviant Brewing's Mark DeVito. I'm Jeff, and this is Storied San Francisco, a podcast all about the artists, activists, and small businesses that make this city unique. In this episode, part 2 of 2, we pick up right where we left off in part 1. Mark was walking around the Mission, taking down numbers of places with for rent signs. A resident in one of those spots leaned out the window and invited Mark in to see the place. Also, some exciting news that dropped since we recorded way back in December. This fall, Standard Deviant is opening its second location in San Francisco's Pier 70. For reference, we featured this exciting new area of the Bayside waterfront back in Season 4, Episode 20. Anyway, without further ado, here's Mark.
He had ulterior motives. We got upstairs, and he's like, "You guys want to get high?" And we're like, "Yeah, we want to get high." And we got stoned, and he's like, "Oh, I sell weed, so here's my number. Hit me up." It's so like he was like, "I got some customers down there."
Also, welcome to San Francisco.
But hilariously, we like looked at the apartment. We're like, "Okay," and we were like, unbelievably stoned on like California pot, which was like not like New Hampshire pot,
nope. Not like anywhere else.
And we were like, "Oh wow," and we. We then went to St. Francis Fountain.
Yes.
Like, just ran, like, wandered that. We didn't know where we were. We just knew we were walking around in the Mission looking for apartments. And we walked in there, super high. And we're like, what is this? Oh, my gosh. Got, like, milkshakes. And, like I think he bought, like, some Cabbage Patch
probably
cards,
yeah,
or something.
Cabbage Patch Kids.
And then we walked.
It's like that moment in Wizard of Oz when it turns to color.
That's like the last song on Dark Side of the Moon, right?
Something like that. Was it like? I mean, it's like,
no, it's early in
the yeah, contrast, right, of like what you
totally
grew up with, what
totally
you're used to.
Yeah.
And then, boom!
All of a sudden, you're like, wow. Yeah. And we like from there we wandered, and we ended up at Bender's.
Yeah.
And they were doing like a barbecue in their little backyard.
Yes, they
and
were.
And we were like playing pool, and we're just like, where are we? This is amazing.
What took
this
so
is like
long?
All, like, this is everything I need. And, like, ended up, like, calling that landlord and renting that apartment. Like, but, like, 5 days later, made the decision. Because we were so stoned, like, I remember, like, my buddy's mom was like, oh, how's the apartment? Like, how many baths are? Yeah. Ended up being a great place.
Yeah.
So, like.
And that's where you still live.
I still live there. My wife and I still live in the same
apartment.
So you've
lived in one place in
San
Francisco.
One apartment in San Francisco. That's
it. In 19 years.
That's right.
Congratulations. Because I will go to my grave, not moving is kind of the best.
Oh, it's... I don't know that I can do it. I mean, I used to do it.
It's a lot.
I used to do it, like, every year.
Yeah, same.
But I haven't in so long. And, like, it's, like, when I think about it, like, my wife's always like, you just don't want to leave. I was like, well, no, it's rent control. that's what
that
it is.
That doesn't hurt, yeah.
But I also am like, I've lived there long enough that, like, I've watched my neighbors, like, have kids who are now, like, adults.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? And
mm-hmm.
It's, like, kind of neat to have been, like, and, like, we all, like, it's actually, like, you know, my block is, like, a bunch of families that have lived there for generations.
Right.
And, like, we all know each other on, like, a first-name basis. We say hi to each other. We, like, you know, like, watch out for each other's stuff. It's, like, kind of cool.
I don't know exactly where you live, but I will maintain that 24th, let's just say, like, roughly from Mission to Potrero is one of, and has always been, one of my favorite parts of the town.
It's unreal.
Just, yeah.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There have been changes. There have been challenges. But...
it's still rich.
It is.
I
still
love it. I love
fucking magic every
yeah,
year.
I love it. And I love the Mission. I'm like it.
Yeah.
For all of the kind of like, you know, negativity that it gets sometimes, I'm like, I absolutely love and live by this neighborhood. And like,
yeah,
like it's just great. It's like
that might be a good segue. Let's jump ahead. So 2004, you got a place.
Yeah.
You're just I'm guessing, like me, you maybe didn't even have a plan of like, I'm going to stay here for such and such and figure it out.
No plan.
You're just like, I like it. I'm seizing this opportunity.
Yes.
Boom, here we are.
And it was a different rental market then. Like literally,
completely.
Like the place was just like, all these places were just for rent.
Yes.
And like, you could like go check them out and make a decision days later on it, not like show up and be like, I'll pay for it now, sight unseen.
Sometimes you would even meet or at least speak with the landlord.
Yeah,
who might live here?
Met with
maybe.
The landlord.
Maybe, yeah.
And he said, when I was like, hey, what's up? I remember the first thing he said to me was, he's Irish, and he was like, ugh, I don't have time for this now. I'm up to me eyeballs and work. And we're just like, we're just trying to pay you. Up to me eyeballs and work. Yeah. So it was like, that's.
So how
that's
do we get from there? And if you want to like talk
to
about any background in beer or beer making, how do we get from there to this place?
My business partner Paul, who was mentioned, who all of you will recognize him on this podcast by sight, you'll recognize him. Mm-hmm. He lived a few blocks away from me in the Mission, and we were introduced via a mutual friend. Who was like, he was out visiting me, and he's like, oh, my buddies are playing a show at like Bottom of the Hill tonight. I was like, who are your buddies? He's like, Pants, Pants, Pants. And I was like, oh my God, I've seen their flyers. I was going to go to that show because the name is amazing. It's called Pants,
incredible.
Pants, Pants.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul was adjacent to Pants, Pants, Pants. He lived with the
a
guys in the band,
yeah.
And he would occasionally get on stage and like read a scroll during their set. And like, so he's a part of the band. You know,
yep.
Much like the guy who moved here with us was a part of our band just by default and by
that
being all
really
always
got
there.
To know well on that
yeah,
road
yeah.
trip.
Yeah. But so I met him and we remained friends for years and years and years. I was working at a restaurant called Luna Park here in the
mm-hmm,
Mission.
Mm-hmm. Fun fact that an old friend of mine who no longer lives here, he actually lives in Massachusetts now, pointed out back in the day, he's like, because we would go. I love that place.
It was great.
It was
awesome.
Such a cool place.
Yeah.
One day we went there, and he's like, looked at the sign. He's like, say the name backwards.
Anal crap.
Anal crap.
Oh yeah, yeah. We got a lot of that.
Yeah. Anal crap.
Yeah. It was good food.
You worked there.
I worked there for 5 years.
Doing what?
I was the manager.
Okay.
And bartender. And like,
so I probably
served you
something.
Made
yeah.
you mojitos.
Yeah,
we made a lot of mojitos. I loved it. It was great. The owner was he really took a liking to me and was like the GM and I are still good friends. And like, he was basically like, I was like, I'm gonna be leaving to go on tour with my band. When I'm back in the city, I would like to still work here. You know, and like the first time, like, we'll see. And I was like, cool, I'll just come back and I'll like cover shifts for people. And I would come back and like pick up shifts like 7 days a week for everyone. And after like a week or two of doing that, I'd be like, just put
just
me on the schedule.
Hire me. Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, yeah. And yeah. then like they just were like, wow, we can. And I didn't have a cell phone, which was so funny. Because they're like, how are we going to know when you're coming back? I was like, I told you when I would be back. And I will be at work that day. And they're like, but I was like, and like they were like, wow, you actually do that. You actually like, you leave when you say you're gonna leave, and you come back when you say you're gonna come back. And I would like send them postcards from all around the country sometimes, just like to like, you know, fuck with them.
Mm-hmm.
Postcards are great because like, you know, the post person's reading them, so you write like really bad shit on them. And,
there's no hiding
awesome.
It in the envelope.
I know. That's
it's
right.
Out there.
And so yeah, so it was like working there on and off. And Paul like would come in occasionally for dinner or drinks. He had started like doing some home brewing and was making beer with this other kid and they were like trying to get me to carry it at Luna Park. They never actually launched anything.
They went out of business.
Yeah, they never made it. It was
where were they
it was,
getting their ship
it was
from?
Gonna be, well, they were just home brewing, but it was going to be called like Hayes Valley Brewing or something. I don't
where
know.
Were they getting their
oh, where were they getting supplies?
And, yeah, and
oh,
supplies.
Yeah, yes, yes. That, yes.
At Brewcraft.
Out on like
Clement
and like 32nd or 42nd
like
or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just wanted to get a shout out on the podcast to Brewcraft.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Before
the guy who works there runs the Richmond Republic Draft House, and so he's still very involved in beer.
Sure,
which is great.
But you know, like some people might just not know the story of breweries and beer
and
home brewing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like Brewcraft was huge.
It was great. Yeah, it was everything for them, not for me. I don't make the beer, so I would go pick stuff up there sometimes for them, but like. Wasn't like as involved in like the process scene. But so, yeah, like Paul was like trying to get some of those beers.
He was making his own
beer.
Yeah,
they're like putting their own stickers in the bottles and the hand bottling it and like.
As Hayes Valley?
I think it was Hayes Valley. I believe that's what they called it.
Okay.
But I was like, I can't sell this here. Like, you don't.
At Luna Park.
Yeah, I was like, you're not a real business.
Yeah.
I'm not selling your homebrew over the bar. Like, you know, it was a really funny kind of like, all right. And then like some years progressed. I ended up like leaving Luna Park around the same time that my band dissolved and opening my own bar.
Okay. I don't know the story.
And so, you know, still friends with Paul. And he was like, oh, you know, like he would come like watch football on Sundays at the bar. And like over time we sort of talked about.
At your bar?
At my bar, yeah.
Can we talk about your bar?
Sure.
I don't know this story.
It's called Dr. Teeth.
Oh, yeah. That's you. Okay.
Yeah, well, I just sold it, but it was me for the last 12 years or whatever.
Yeah. I used to live at 20th and Mission, so right there. Yeah.
I was there last night. I was overserved.
And also this is reminding me, I've had Matt Sterling on the podcast.
Oh, you have? Wow.
Yes.
Great.
I don't even know what they call that place anymore. On California. They changed the name.
Oh, the one that used to be Wild Hair?
Yeah, is he... No.
Sotopopinski's.
Yeah, they changed the name to something or other.
It has been purchased by some friends of mine.
It's out of the orbit of whatever. Yeah.
And they're redoing it, and it's beautiful what they're doing to it. And they're calling it Zhuzh.
How do they spell that?
Which I was like, wait, how do you spell
J-U-J.
That?
J-U-J.
Z? It's like Z-H-U-Z-H or something?
The other one is, how do you spell, like, people are like, per the huge. How the fuck do you spell that?
I don't know.
Need to be new characters.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway.
So you opened Dr. T. And Paul would
come hang out there.
Like, as your friend.
As my friend, and... over time, like, the sort of discussion of, like, he was, like, homebrewing more and, like, homebrewing beers and bringing them, like, to friends' weddings and parties, and they were good, and he, like...
Smart.
And he was, like, I want to do this. He was working in biotech. And, like, kind of reached the end of how far he could progress without going back to school and, like, getting a PhD.
Is he on the science side or the
science
tech side?
He was on the science side, yeah. So he was working with...
It's all coming together.
Right, he was working with fermentation.
It's all coming together.
Yeah. Working on, like, HIV medications. And, like, just was like, this is... Making beer is great. I like this. This is fun. This is, like, a good thing. Say hi.
Hi, friends.
He's from New Hampshire.
You're the right side up.
Yeah, he's right side up.
I'm right like side up.
Down Vermont definitely right there. Side up. Yeah. Screw those other guys. Damn hippies.
That's right. I'll catch up with you in a minute. Paul ended up, you know, he was like really like pressing
me. He was going
me.
Into it. He's
he was
like
pressing me. He's like, let's do this. Force. Let's open a brewery. And I was like, at that point, I was like opening other bars and like was like, cool.
Wait,
I'm interested
Mark,
in that.
What other bars?
Wild Hair, the Royal Tug Yacht Club, Soda Popinski's, Cease and Desist. Definitely forgetting something.
Were you? So this must have been a thing for you. You're like, I'm not doing music anymore.
Yeah, I'm doing.
Did you just kind of pour yourself into like
all in?
I like this.
I went all in on it. Well, it was like it all happened like right around my 30th birthday.
Okay.
And like there was like the moment of. Like, a few people have been like, hey, I heard your band's not, you know, going to be around anymore. Do you want to play drums in our band? And I was like, no, I don't. Like, I was, like, kind of soured on the whole experience after, like, our band dissolved because, like, two of us were, like, all in on it. And the third guy was, like, he just had to stop for, like, his own like personal mental health.
Right. Right.
So like, there's like really no judgment on his decision other than like, it wasn't the plan.
He could not do it anymore.
Right, and we're like, oh shit, we're not doing that. And I was like, okay, like, I don't really feel like starting over. Like, we had made really good progress, but I was like, I don't want to go back to those, like, shows where we play to nobody again. I don't want to, like, have to redo that process we just did for the last, you know, 6-7 years, whatever.
Yep. It's a lot.
It was a lot. And at that exact same time, my best friend was opening, like, his first bar and was like, let's open a bar now, you and me, let's do this. So it was like this really like clean, easy decision for me to like move into bar ownership.
So I'm thinking of Paul's angle. He's making beer and he knows you.
Yeah.
As kind of a neighbor-ish.
Yeah.
Right. And he's like, this guy's doing bars. So his angle was like,
that's an operator.
Let's do this.
Right. That guy knows how to do the thing. I know how to do the thing. Like, I don't. Me, Mark, does not know how to make beer, but Paul knows how to make beer really well. And he's like, me, Paul, doesn't know how to run a restaurant or bar. He knows how to do that. It was like a really good, like, you know, and we were friends.
I don't like the word, but some might say synergy.
Why, like, yeah, why would you say that word?
Well, just like you guys coming together.
No, I know. To,
yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
it was great. It was great. And we
it made sense.
We had you know, we had a lot of meetings where we kind of like discussed like philosophy on business and like what we wanted to, what the goals were, and we aligned on almost all of them.
Two questions. The name and the story of this place.
The name, Standard Deviant Brewing. Paul worked with a company called 100 Monkeys, which is like a branding company, to develop a name that kind of reflected his personality and like, and the personality that we wanted the brewery to have. One of the important things to both of us was that it's beer. It should be fun. It shouldn't be taken too seriously. Like, you should be drinking it and laughing and like having a good time.
But it's also got a nerd angle.
But it has a nerd angle. So we're like, all right. Yes. So like, so they came up with a bunch of these different names, and like a Standard Deviant Brewing was one of them. And we're like, that name rules, and it's not trademarked.
Oh,
let's do it.
Huge.
Yeah, which was huge. So it is trademarked now. It's ours. Don't fucking take it. None of you out there.
Did the name come before the place?
The name came before the place.
Okay.
The beer was being made. Paul was then making beer and bringing it to like little events as like Standard Deviant.
Making it at home.
At home, yeah.
Okay.
We poured at a couple parties around the Mission. Like, once we found this place and we're like getting ready to build it, to be like, hey, this is homebrew, but we're gonna have a brewery here someday.
Why wasn't I invited? But anyway,
Sorry, you should totally come to these parties if you want.
Yeah.
I'll let you know when the next one is.
The next time you open a successful
brewery. The next time we
brewery,
open one. Yeah. But so then we basically like almost gave up on trying to open a brewery because we looked and looked and looked, and there was nothing in the city that was like big enough and affordable.
Right.
You need a lot of space for this shit.
Right.
And like we kept going places. We'd look at a place. We're like, cool. And our architect would like be like, well, they told you it was 2,500 square feet, but it's actually 1,600 square feet.
Would you say that was like a super big challenge?
Huge
early
challenge.
On?
It was so difficult.
We're talking about real estate.
It was
in
so
San Francisco.
Expensive. And this is in like, you know, 2013, 2014. Things were not are never cheap here, but that was like. Things were really expensive then.
Mm-hmm.
And like we looked at a few places and like they were like way out of the way. There was one place that we looked at where like Paul was like, this is it, this is great, and I was like, I'm out, I'm not doing this place. I was like, I just it, like we'll never get the foot traffic we need to make like this work, and like I will happily like I was like, I will buy your beer for my bars. I will come drink here. I'm not. And he was like, oh, all right. And we didn't.
You're
do
like
it.
A toe in.
Yeah. And so we didn't. We were like, oh. And so that was like. And then all of a sudden he like texted me one day and was just like, dude, this. And this place was on Craigslist. And we like came in and looked at the ceilings, and we're like, yeah, this works. This does it.
I'll say the number one connector on this podcast, which is 6 years old, 400 some odd episodes. Uh-huh. The number one connector is SF State. The second biggest connector is Craigslist.
Craigslist.
And I like to seize on that because it's like another thing that I feel like maybe in our world now, or some of us who have like graduated out, it's like don't realize how integral
it was.
Craigslist right. has been in our lives.
It's wild.
For but better and worse.
My first bar I found on Craigslist too.
Boom.
Like all this stuff, like, you know.
Yeah,
like,
all the things.
Unbelievable, right? That's right.
But you saw it and you're like.
Craigslist. I even used Craigslist like a couple days ago, I think. I was like trying to figure out how much like a draft system was worth. I was like, I wonder if it's on Craigslist. You know, like really, really funny.
I sometimes shop at Gus's on Hate. It's kind of my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I have spotted Craig Newmark there shopping also, I assume.
Really?
But also getting a bunch of grapes and putting them in his little basket and then just eating them along. Mm. I was like, Craig.
That's on brand though, isn't it?
Kind of.
It's like, yeah.
The site still looks the same. He still looks the same.
I wouldn't be able to pick it. You could be him. I wouldn't know. I don't know what that person looks like.
Here's the big reveal.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Sick. No, but this place was on Craigslist.
It was on Craigslist. It was an old auto body shop. And, like, there was a bunch of shit in here, like cars and, like, all these, like, racking with, like, all of our landlords collected stuff over time. So, like, you know, like, Christmas decor and, like,
What's the funnest piece that you found? What's the funnest, like, the best thing where you're like, what the hell?
Well, there's a what the hell thing that we, like, there are all these old, like, really nice window panes that we bought from. Or, like, she was basically, like, when she was getting rid of stuff, she's like, what do you want to buy? And we're like, we want these. We, like, bought all this stuff. We thought we'd use the window panes and the decor. There's no window panes in here. Yeah. They ended up being, like, when we, like, explored, like, using them, it was going to cost us so much money to, like, to actually, like, put them in some shit. So we have a storage unit in Oakland that has those window panes in it because we can't get rid of them.
Yeah.
And we also agreed to, like, there was this big cabinet here that we thought we'd use for the bar. And so, like, we agreed to, like, keep it and take care of it. And it's in our lease, and it's the weirdest thing that's in our lease. But we never used it, so we have that in storage.
Like a curious cabinet?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I trust you'll find a use for it.
I don't think we ever will. It is.
Just say challenge accepted.
At some point. Does burning count as a use?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. We'll probably find a use for it.
Yeah.
So
when did you open?
We opened in 2016.
Okay.
We started doing construction in we started leasing the space in 2015.
A lot of build out.
We had to dig up the floor, like put all like the whole back is all was done. Like everything in here got demoed. It was just a box.
Mm-hmm.
And then we dug out the back to do all the trenching. Had to dig up the sidewalk and the street to get like the water upgraded. We had to upgrade the power. There was like a lot of work.
Yes.
Which was like, it was a wild project.
How does one express like the size of a brewery? Like
it's
volume.
It's in volume. It's in what's called like barrelage. So like a barrel of beer is 31 gallons of beer.
Okay.
And so you kind of like describe the size of your brewery by how many barrels of beer a year you produce.
Okay.
And we produce about 2,000 barrels a year.
Okay.
Here.
That's not small.
But it's also not.
It's not huge.
Big. That's like 4,000 big kegs.
Right.
You know those big party kegs. That's a half barrel.
Yeah.
So it's like 4,000 of those a year.
Yeah.
And like, it seems like so much beer. And then it's like, people are like, oh, how come you don't sell your beer at, like, Giants games? And I'm like, well, first of all, like, they've never asked us. But more importantly, like, the amount of beer we make in 1 year here would cover, like, three of those games. Or something. You know, like, currently, because people don't go to baseball as often, like, maybe, like, a quarter of the season or something. But, like, you know, it's like, the amount of beer we make in 1 year doesn't even amount to the, like, one batch of Budweiser that they make out there in Fairfield, wherever that place
right,
is. Yeah.
Right.
Like, those things are, like, 100,000 barrel units that they just do. Yeah.
So y'all chose quality.
That's your words, not mine.
Quantity. I mean, it's like the space
no,
is limited.
I'm just kidding.
It's not small, but it's not enormous.
Right. Right. And it was
and
like,
so, but I,
it's
as
a good
consumer,
starting spot.
As
yeah.
as a beer drinker, I'm going to say you chose quality.
We did. And like, this isn't to disparage like large breweries at all. Like, it's the fact that Budweiser can make Budweiser is so impressive that they can make that like. That much of something that tastes exactly the same,
right?
Right? Like, it's so impressive.
Scaling, right?
Scale,
it's unbelievable.
Wild.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, so like, that's amazing. But what we have the advantage of, there's more disadvantages probably than advantages to being a small brewery. But, namely, like the cost, right? Like, if like Budweiser is so cheap to buy because they make such big amounts that it costs them nothing to make it, like. Whereas we're getting all of our stuff from like California farms, like Oregon farms, shipped here in small amounts, you know, like, which costs a lot more money. Budweiser has whole farms that produce all their ingredients. So like, but the advantage we get is that like, we really have control over the product all the time that we're putting out and can like tweak it to make it better. And like, you know, like, if I sell a keg to a bar and then I go to that bar and get one of the beers, I can be like, oh shit, like, that's not a good batch or something. And I can like quickly recognize that. I mean, we would know here, but like more often I'm like, oh, you haven't cleaned your beer lines in a long time. Let me do that. so we have a lot of control over like the quality of our beer and like
right.
the perception of our beer to other people who like wouldn't understand that maybe the beer tastes weird not because of our beer but because of like the draft line they're drinking
lines.
It through is 100 years old and
totally.
Has never been cleaned.
Yep.
Which is a lot of bars in this city.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or it's like a can of beer that's been sitting in like the back of someone's fridge for 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
And they open it and they're like, oh, that IPA sucks. And you're like, well, okay. it's too old.
It's next to the baking
yeah.
soda that's
yeah,
expired.
Come on.
Yeah. Do yeah. you want to talk at all about the is okay, it's a term. Is it fair to use on you guys? Craft brewing.
Craft. You can use that with us. Yeah.
Okay. We would. Do you want to talk about the craft brewing landscape? Perhaps.
Yeah.
Perhaps also in the shadow of Anchor, like what's going on
yeah,
there?
Yeah.
Like, because
yeah.
Anchor is an institution.
It's incredible.
Whatever's going on there.
Yeah.
But then there's also like everything else happening in the city.
Yeah.
And all the other craft brewers.
There's
that
a lot
have come
of
up, including y'all.
There's a lot of craft brewers these days. There was like the big surge in it was like 4 years ago or something, like 3 or 4. Like when we started planning this, there were probably like under 10 recognizable breweries in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And that's including Anchor Steam and 21st Amendment, like big ones, right?
Magnolia.
Magnolia, yeah, exactly. Which is where Paul actually learned. He did an, I didn't think statute of limitations has passed. He did an unpaid internship there to learn how to. He just like went, met the brewers, like, you don't have to pay me, I just want to follow you around.
Oh, a willing.
Yeah.
Lee.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. He's like,
willing
I just want to learn.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like, and then by the time we opened, there were twice as many as there had been.
Yeah.
And then there was like at one point, like I heard like 8,000 small breweries in the United States.
Oh, I thought you were going to say San Francisco.
No,
and
no,
I
no.
was going to stop this podcast
you're
forever.
Like, what? You're like, I'm just going to get real drunk.
But you know, like, for people like myself who don't make beer and then others who don't even consume beer, it's like, it's noticeable.
It's noticeable. Cool.
That
yeah,
they're
like,
Fort Point.
There's more. Yeah.
Woods.
Yep.
What Seven Stills was doing with
Seven
on the
Stills
beer,
no
on the
more.
Beer side.
Yeah,
not, no more. But like.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, it just kept going and
right.
going. And then when you go to the East Bay,
so many,
even more.
So many in the East Bay. Yeah. And it's really like, it's neat that you notice that because I noticed that. But this is like my job is
I
to
like
notice
beer.
That. But this is my job and like, yeah. to, is to notice what's going on in this industry. But there's like, you know, it's like it's. Pretty neat when you go into a bar in San Francisco that has like eight beers on tap, and all eight of them are from a different local San Francisco brewery. Yes. Like, I love that. Like, absolutely. I think that's really cool. Craft brewing is very difficult in San Francisco. Like, there's 8,000 in the U.S. It's like, it's a, it all comes down to, like, per square foot price. You know, like, it's really expensive for us to do this here because, and, like, we make a lager, but we don't, like, always have a lager or multiple lagers because that beer takes 6 weeks to make.
Right.
So, like, from we pay 6 weeks of rent without having a product to sell. You know, it's a kind of a crazy, like, so it is in, like, you know, if we were in, like, Iowa and, like, you're just like, cool, we can go open a brewery because you got a farm with a barn and it's all the space and it's cheap and you can do all this stuff.
It doesn't cost anything.
But then the advantage here is that there are limitless bars and restaurants that we can go sell our beer to. Those guys in the middle of nowhere.
The flying spaghetti monster.
Yeah. The people in the middle of nowhere, like, can make all the beer they want, but they're like, they have to drive like 3 hours to sell it all. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. You know, ups and downs on that. But I think craft beer is great. I think some people take it too seriously.
Yeah.
And, like, that's fine. That's what people do in all industries, I guess. But, it kind of, like, defeats the fun of it.
Yeah.
And, like,
well, this might speak more to your role here, is that Standard Deviant is definitely about the product, and I think it's a high-quality product. But, like, this is an experience space. This is, like... You come here, you have good times. There's games, there's food, there's...
There's an 18-foot tree in here right now.
Cozy.
With Senior Frog Mask as the tree topper.
Oh, yes.
And you'll notice it's not decorated with Christmas decorations.
Not at all.
It's just all holiday tree. We've got some 4th of July, we've got some President's Day.
Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Yeah, we've got St. Patrick's Day, we've got New Year's. You know.
I'm going to guess that that's intentional.
Yeah.
That y'all have, you have this, and also in San Francisco, a space this size is...
It's great.
That's a unicorn.
It's like, great. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because of the space we have, and because, like, it leads to a lot of community gatherings here, which is great, because it's, like, it is one of the few places that you can kind of show up with a group of 20 unannounced and not worry about it.
Yeah.
You can, like... come here with, like, your nonprofit to, like, get together and have beers in the room, but I don't charge a rental fee for that. You know, like, it's like, mm-hmm. like, so a lot of places that have space, like, if you wanted to go there with a group of 40, they're like, well, it's going to be a $4,000 minimum.
Right.
Right. And we're like, oh, yeah, we'll just put you in that corner. If you don't mind standing around and, like, making friends with people, and then they end up, you know, it's like.
And meeting a minimum and all that other shit.
Yeah. It's like.
And also super important, I think, since the pandemic.
Yes.
Where we're, like, learning how to do these things again.
I would say some people are not even learning how
they're
to do them again.
They're not there yet.
They are on a different planet when it comes to... I'm like, wow, you forgot all social skills completely during that. Huh. Okay.
I want to hear quickly, or not even quickly, whatever. Our theme on the podcast this year is we're all in it.
We're all in it.
Okay. What does that mean to you?
Well, there's, like, the literal, like, we're all in it together. We're all, you know, like, we're all on the same ship. Like, you know, when I am thinking about it more now, because you just asked me, I didn't know that was coming. Like, I try and be very heavily involved in the community and the mission. And it's like, we're all in it to me. It's like, hey, we all got to do this together to, like, keep this place awesome and, like, build it back, you know, like, the whole city, like, it's a resilient city by history.
By definition.
And it's like, we're all in it, like, is the motto that needs to be remembered here for people to be like, no, like, let's, like, there's a reason we all live in San Francisco, because this place fucking rules. This is the best city in the world, like, we're all in it. Let's make it that, you know.
That was Mark DeVito, co-owner of Standard Deviant Brewing. On the next episode of Storied San Francisco, meet Chloe Sherman. Chloe is becoming more and more well-known for her amazing photos of San Francisco's lesbian bar scene back in the 1990s. Episode 12 drops next Tuesday, wherever you get podcasts. Music for Storied San Francisco was produced, performed, and curated by Otis McDonald. Aaron Lim of Bitch Talk Podcast is our contributing producer. And the show is produced and hosted by me, Jeff Hunt. Now in our sixth season, we have more than 200 episodes available on our website, storiedsf.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you're able to, please rate and review the show, and drop us a line at storiedsf@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Keep rejecting those silly doom loop narratives about our city. Stay wacky, weird, healthy, and creative. And we'll see you next time on Storied San Francisco. We acknowledge and respect the first humans of the unceded land we call San Francisco, the Ramaytush Ohlone. We condemn the genocide of these and other tribes across the Western Hemisphere. We honor their legacy and history, and we support rematriation and sovereignty efforts.
This podcast is a proud member of the BFF.fm podcast network. Learn more at podcasts.bff.fm.
BFF.fm, best frequencies forever.